1, Luke 12, 13 to 21. And it says this, the parable of the rich fool. Are you ready? It says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This is the word of the Lord to us. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and take your seat. We are in this series that I think has been helpful and challenging. And I've titled it this, Truth for Life. And we've really looked at this, the tension that our faith can cause. And there's a tension in our faith. You know, is it wrong to have an abundant harvest? Of course not. So when you look at this parable on the surface, you say, wow, good for him. He had an abundant harvest. Well, amen. That's a good thing. The downside was what? He started to trust in that abundant harvest too much and forgot the God of the harvest. So there's a tension in our faith. And if we're honest with ourselves, we see this in our own lives. When there's a situation going on in your life that you wish would be different, something has troubled you, something is hard, something isn't fixed, something is not right in your life, what does that usually drive us to? That usually drives us to our knees. That usually drives you and I to a place where we say, God, we need you. God, help us. God, we're desperate for you. That's good. And just like this rich guy, he had everything he thought he needed. So here's the problem for him. He forgot God. But so there's a tension here. There's a tension between the blessed life and still keeping God as the main source. So really, a subtitle of today's message could be this. What do you serve more, the source or the resources? And if I'm honest with you, there's been times in my life I've put too much faith, too much hope, and too much trust in the resources God has given me. Come on. And it talks like this. We can hear ourselves when we start to talk about resources and forget the source of life. We sort of say, oh, now that I have this, just like this rich man, now that I have this, now that I've achieved that, now that I have the corner office, now that I have peace, now that I'm finally retired, now that my kids are finally graduating from university, now that my kids are married, whatever we decide in our heart and mind to be, we sort of say, when we get there, then we can rest. Or it sounds like this. It sounds kind of a little bit opposite. When I get this, when I get there, when that vacation comes, then I'll be able to rest. Friends, here's the danger of that talk. Both of those scenarios are people just like you and me, and I can put myself at the top of those lists, is this. I'm looking at the resource and thinking it's a source. And that'll always leave me disappointed. I will always be disappointed when I look at the resources God's given me or the resources I think I don't yet have. And I'll be disappointed, saying, man, come on. God, you're a God of resources. You could do it in a moment. Yeah, he is. But he doesn't want to just be my resource. He wants to be our source. Amen? So there's a difference between the source and the resource. So that's a bit of my intro. I'm going to keep going. So as we continue this series, we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at how this causes tension, this parable. And within this parable, Jesus makes this statement, and I want us to think on this statement, friends, because it's an important statement. And here's what he says. He says, life does not consist, and this is verse, what verse is that? Hold on. Verse 15. It says this, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So this statement alone is the central theme of today's text. That's really the heart of what we're going to get after. So if life doesn't just consist of that, what does life consist of? So in this parable, we see a man who, I had a friend years ago, a preacher friend of mine, a really good friend of mine today. He used to always say this. And he, in a story like this, he would say this. He would say, here is a man, and we see this man here. He gets all he can, he puts it in a can, and he sits on the can. Did you hear that? So he's a picture of someone who gets all he can, puts it in a can, and sits on the can. See, there's something to be said for that. And that says something if we live our life like that, just in pursuit of more things, pursuit of more possessions, pursuit of more achievement. For what? What's the reason? And we're going to dig into some of this today. So a question that obviously presents itself from this parable is this. If my life and your life are not just made up of the things that we gain or possess, what should my life and your life consist of? What should it be? If Jesus says life consists of more than just possessions, but then what should our life consist of? What's the point of life? What should be the pursuit of life? Because Jesus makes, in today's context, in today's culture, Jesus makes an extremely controversial statement. He's saying, listen, we think life's all about getting more things. No, no, no. He says, that's not what life's about. It's about something deeper. It's about something better. It's about something more lasting. So we see this tension and we encounter this tension in this parable. What is our source? And what is the resources and what are the resources in our life? And friends, I think when we begin to look at this and really ponder the source versus resources, it helps. It brings distinction in our mind. Listen, not for one second would any logical person tell you more money is a problem. Money is not the problem. Things are not the problem. More friends are not the problem. A happier home is not the problem. Come on, achievement is not the problem. To set goals for your life and achieve them, that's not a bad thing. The question that Jesus is posing to us is this: is it the source? When you get that thing, do you think you'll be happier? So he says, here, look, here's a parable. A man hit the lottery. He got so much grain from this harvest, he had to build bigger barns. But what he didn't realize is his life consists of more than just things. So here's the other side. When you and I realize that Jesus Christ is our source, do you know what that allows us to do? Be free. Come on, we can be free when we understand Christ is our source. But listen, if we don't get that Christ is our source, we get worried. We get fearful. We say, ooh, I don't know if I can give because I need. I can't open the can and take some out and give it. I need to just keep sitting on that can. So there's a bit of fear that can come in when you and I don't recognize Christ as our source. And let me say this, maybe you're right. Maybe that's the best option. If you don't recognize Christ as the source of everything, then maybe the best you can do is hoard everything you have. I don't think it's a good way to live. I don't think it's a Christ-centered way to live, but maybe that's the best you can do. But what happens when something tweaks inside of us? What happens when we say, oh, no, 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 no. I don't just have resources. No, no, no. I have an endless source named Jesus Christ. He is my everything. He is all I need all the time. See, what tweaks in your mind then? Then you can be like a conduit of blessing for people.
You can have or you cannot have. Paul says this, whether I'm abased or whether I abound, I've learned to be content in all things. What? His source. Amen? That's the message for today. That's the hope for today, friends, that you and I find our source in Jesus Christ. And understand, that's the essence of life. Don't buy into the system. Don't buy into the world system that says, come on, the more you have, the more you achieve, the more you keep, the more you hang, the more people look at, the more successful you are. Jesus says, no, that's not success. Success is understanding that Christ is your source. Amen? And friends, if you're born again this morning, if you have Jesus Christ in you, you have an endless source in you. Not an endless resource, an endless source. He is the living water. Do you know what that word living water talks about? The word living water talks about this, a source of water. A spring of water that keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. You can't empty the source. But listen, you can empty your resources. Come on, you can empty your resources, but I can't empty the source, Jesus Christ. That's today's message. Amen? So listen, whatever it is, go ahead, give the Lord a clap. That's the power of today's message. I want us to see that. This will change the way you live. This will change the way you treat people. This will change everything. Amen? He is our source. We have something from him to give. So listen, I can treat people differently. I can love people differently because I don't look at them as a resource. I don't look at someone as my... Mark is a wonderful resource to me. Before God, a wonderful... I'm blessed to have Mark Hickling in my life. That is an absolute fact. But if I start to treat Mark like my source, it's going to cause tension in our relationship. Because number one, I can't put that kind of pressure on him. And number two, he will never live up to my expectation. So do you see how this happens? The problem is, when I start to treat people or things like a source, inevitably we will end up disappointed. If I am Mark's source, he's hopeless. Maybe I could achieve for a little while. Maybe I can be the person he wants me to be for a little while. What about when I fail him? See, when you what you think is your source will inevitably fail you. We see it all the time. People who are single say this, oh, if I was only married, if I was only married, if I only had a spouse. And the Bible says a spouse is a good thing. Come on, that's what the Bible says. But it's a bad thing if your spouse becomes your source. Rachel is not my source. My kids are not my source. And I know we live in a society that says, you live for your kids. My God, how can I live for my kids? I'm not called to live for my kids. I'm called to live for Christ. I'm called to model my life for them about following Christ. And you know what? That's the best thing I can do for them. They don't need me to live for them. They got to find life in Christ. Come on. We live for our jobs. We live for our careers. We live for our bank accounts. Bad sources, friends. We will always be disappointed. This is still my introduction, by the way. But you see, this is something powerful. So the great danger for all of us is this, that we turn our resources, people, money, things, assets, we turn them into the source. We will always be disappointed. And here in this story, we see this man in Luke 12. He was guilty of turning his abundant harvest into his source. And what was his words? He said, Randy's paraphrase, I've got so much. My barns are so big. I've got enough for years. Now I can rest. Oh, how sad. How sad that now he can rest. When Jesus Christ is our rest, he is the Prince of Peace who lives in us. I don't have to wait for some special thing to happen in my life before I can rest. No, I can rest today because Christ is in me. Doesn't mean I like everything that's going on in my life, but I can rest in my source. Maybe I don't like the fact that I don't have the resources I think I need. That's okay, that's allowed, but I can rest in my source. Amen? So just like that man, he was resting in his resources. It's just, if you flip that on its head or take the other end of it, it's a similar situation for those who don't yet think they have the resources they need. They talk like this, oh, when I get that husband, when I get that spouse, when my wife starts acting like I want her to, when my husband starts being like I want him to be, when my business finally takes off, when this finally happens, when I finally pay off my house, when I finally get out of debt, when, and we've put our peace somewhere in the future connected to something other than Christ. Come on. That, my friend, is what Christ is what Jesus is touching on today. Because how does the story start? The story starts with just a man in the crowd has an issue with his brother. And the issue is his parents have died. And the issue is there's an inheritance. And his issue is his brother is being stingy with his inheritance. That's the issue. So he comes to Jesus and says, tell my brother to give me what's due to me. And Jesus looks and says, I'm not the arbitrator. Who am I? I'm not judge between you two. But let me tell you something. So let's jump into these words. You ready? So in both these scenarios, whether you have abundance or you don't think you have abundance, we all risk this, turning a resource into our source. And friends, every one of us in this room is guilty of that. And we cannot deny it because we know it's true. Every one of us are guilty. So this message is for all of us today. All of us. So let's look at Luke 12. Look at this. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you? Verse 15, then he said this to them. Watch out. Everybody say, watch out. See, watch out means pay attention. It says, be on your, it says, then he says this, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So here he is. He says, I'm not the judge. But he says, watch out. Be on your guard against greed. So Jesus tells everyone there, he says, there's a bigger issue at play here. There's a bigger danger here. There's a big danger for the guy who doesn't want to share the inheritance, and there's just a big danger for the guy who thinks he deserves the inheritance. Here's the danger, greed. And what is greed? What is greed? What does greed look like? How do we know when we have when greed is present? Greed is simply this, a desire to have more and more and more. And basically this is greed. You're never satisfied. You'd never have enough. That's greed. So what's this fruit of it? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And this is a really important verse. Because then you have these people, and a lot of Christian people sort of, we seem to jump, and again, here's the tension, we jump to two extremes. We say, God doesn't care at all about money. As long as I have enough for me and mine, I'm happy. And then you have the other extreme that says, no, you need 10 cars, 10 homes, 10 boats, 10 airplanes. And then that's proof of godliness in your life. Well, I think both are extreme. Because why do you have resources? Why? To be a blessing. So look at this. Verse 6 says this. For the love of money. Everybody say the love of money. It doesn't say money. It says the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So here's the thing. Money's not a problem. Come on. Money is not the issue. You should pray to God for more money as a resource, but money's a bad source. Come on, money's not my source. Christ is my source. Money is a resource that allows me to do good, bless people, help people, pay my bills, put food in my mouth, put clothes on my back. We understand that's money. It's a tool. It's a resource. But it says this, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. What does that mean? What is that talking about? It says this, they've turned money into a source. And when you turn money into a source, here's the problem. You're going to be, you have the potential of wandering from the faith. What is that? Jesus Christ is my source. That's the essence of Christianity. Christ is my source. Amen? So the danger is if I have love of money in my heart, the question then becomes, why do I need Jesus? So do you see how people have wandered from the faith? Why? Because of the love of money. So eager for money, have wandered from the faith, and look at the result, pierce themselves with many griefs. So the love of money is the root of all these things. So Jesus knows this. Here's what he realizes. Leave that verse up there if you could, Erwin. Jesus knows this. We all follow after what we love. We go after what we love. We pursue what we love. We think about what we love. Come on, you've heard me use this example so many times, but it just fits. I remember when Rachel and I first started dating, and I fell in love with her. It didn't matter if I was living in Mississauga and she was living out in Fenwick. I would jump in the car to go see her for 10 minutes. Oh, you have a 10-minute break. I'll come see you. It was an hour drive. That doesn't make sense. But why? Love caused me. Love gave me the energy. Love gave me the desire to go and see her. You will always follow what you love. Listen, don't love money. This is this verse. Don't love money. Love God. Amen. Love God. And trust me, money will be there. Money will be there. And you'll have more than enough when you put God first. Amen. So Jesus knows this. We follow after we love. We give our time, our energy, our resources to what we love. We seek after what we love. And what is the result of greed? It distorts our perception of life and what we should love. It distorts our perception of what matters. Greed can cause insensitivity towards people. Greed can cause disharmony and disagreement. Have you ever seen a couple? Now, maybe you've never seen this. Have you ever had a couple and you've had the chance to watch them? And you have one person who's just greedy in the relationship and one person who's generous. That's painful to watch. Because I'll tell you what happens. They fight a lot. Because the one person wants to be a blessing, and the other person is afraid. It's, no, we got to keep this. We worked hard for this. Are you crazy to give that away? See, what's the problem with greed? The problem with greed is this. What's your source? Is money your source? Or is Christ your source? Amen? So true life is found in relationships and our relationship with God and his will. And here's the thing with God's will. It always involves people. Here's another thing with greed. It always causes me to think way too much about myself. Now remember, Jesus says this, be on guard. Watch out for greed. So if we're going to be on guard and watch out for greed, what's the first sign that greed is creeping out our hearts? We think too much about ourselves. Come on, all you start to do is you think about, I got to pay bills. I got to feed these mouths. Oh, September's here. I got to buy more clothes. I. See, something interesting about greed, you and I are at the center. So listen how you talk. Listen to your own words. Your own words reveal the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So how do we speak when a need comes into our life? And Rachel and I, we talk about this a lot in our house. We have needs all the time. We have needs in the church. We have needs in our family. We have needs in our home. And I always say this. I say, I said, we have a need. I said, but you know what? We need to remind ourselves who's our source. Christ is our source. He is our source, not a resource. Yeah, I understand. Money pays the bill. Got it. I understand that. But who is the source of my money? Because if I don't recognize Christ as the source of my money, then I just pursue money. I just look for money all the time. And now this concept of money, just overwhelms me. Instead of saying, no, Christ is my source. Amen?
I got this nice watch that I'm borrowing from Mitch today to keep me on track. Thank you, Mitchell.
So greed causes me to think way too much about myself. Greed causes me to overvalue, now catch this, overvalue my personal time. We live in a time, in an era, where it's like people, you know, they say smartphones, iPhones should have made our lives easier. But we seem to have less time than ever. Have you ever asked someone to do something? Generally, they're like, oh, I'm so busy. The first words out of most people's mouth, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. Do you know what the truth is? We're not that busy. We're really not that busy. And do you know how you know? Because your little smartphone or your iPhone has a little app on there, and it watches you. And it says, oh, you have 3 hours this week on social media. You spent 6 hours on social media. How many people know what I'm talking about? Oh, you all don't want to admit it. Okay, I understand. Come on. Isn't that the truth? So yes, we're busy, but the question is this. Busy doing what? See, greed says, it's my time. That's what greed says. It's my time. I need that. I decide where it goes. Love says, it's your time. I can give. I can give my life. I can give my time. But greed says, oh, that's about me. See, listen, he says, be watchful for greed. See, it's not just about money, friends. It's about your time, your energy, your life. Watch. Pay attention. Greed is at the door. And why? Why? What does greed want? Greed wants this, your heart. That's what greed is after, your heart. And greed wants you to trust in anything other than Christ. Anything other than Christ. Trust in your wisdom, trust in your education, trust in your career, trust in your business, trust in your bank account, trust in anything other than Christ. That's all greed wants. Greed doesn't give a rip what you trust in, as long as it's not Christ. It's lurking for every one of us all the time, whispering. What's the other thing with greed? Greed can be the fruit of fear in our lives. Fear of what? Fear of not having enough. Fear of missing out. Fear of commitment. Fear of giving my time away. Fear of not having enough. Do you see how greed and fear are so intimately connected? You can't be completely greedy without being fearful. And you can't be fearful without being greedy. Amen? Come on. This is the result. Greed and fear go hand in hand. Say, oh, what am I trusting in? Who am I trusting in? See, the world says, trust in you. Trust in your bank account. Trust in what you can hold in your hand. And the Bible says this, trust in your source, Jesus Christ. Trust in Him who can give you everything. Trust in Him who's a well of living water rising up inside of us that can never go dry. So friends, I humbly present this to us today, not to you, to us. What will we trust in? And watch. Watch when we begin to view Jesus as our source. Watch what fear does. It runs the other way. And you'll begin to realize faith, hope, life, with strength from Christ will rise up in you. And something will happen inside of you. Your prayer life will be different. It's hard to pray. Listen, it's hard to pray when there's greed and fear. Because the truth is, I don't need to pray. I don't even desire to pray. Because I'm the source. So here's the question. Who is our source? Look at verse 16. And we're almost finished. This is perfect. Verse 16 says this. Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Verse 17. He thought to himself. Now look at this in these next two or three verses. Verse 17. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said this. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Here's the reality of greed. There's self-centered talk. 12 times in those three verses, this man uses the word I or my 12 times. 12 times. Think about that. My crops. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to protect my future. This is how I'm going to remind myself who my source is. Listen how you talk. Listen how you talk in a time of need, and listen how you talk in a time of plenty. It reveals something amazing. Listen to your words. Listen. Listen to your own words. Because friends, Christ loves us so much. Do you know what the reality is? No matter what you have, what your bank account has, what your accountant says you have, what you think you have, it pales in comparison to Christ. Amen? He is our source. Let me end today's message with this. Let's look at what God's word says about Jesus as our source. Genesis 15. I got four verses, four different places I want to go to, and then we're going to end. Genesis 15:1 says this. Genesis, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He says, do not be afraid. Isn't that powerful? He says, don't be afraid. See, greed causes fear. Abram had great, great need. Friends, every one of us in this room today have a need. I'm not simple enough to think you don't have a need. I'm not simple enough to think the money you have in your pocket can't go somewhere else. I understand that. But he says, don't be afraid. He says, I am your shield. Look at this, your very great reward. What's your reward? What do you value? When you go through life, Jesus says this, life consists more of this, the things you possess. What do you value? Your value. And you know what the truth is? Our value should be Christ. Our value should be His. Our source is who's Him. He is our very great reward. James 1 verse 4 says this. James 1 verse 4, he says, let perseverance finish his work so that you may be mature and complete. Look at this, not lacking anything. So what does that tell us? When you and I put our focus on him, when we trust our source, you will not lack anything. Now, if to ask this question, don't do anything, don't put your hand up. Every one of us in this room have need and lack. Everyone. In some area of our life. Is that not true? Come on. What is this word telling us? It's saying this, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. when Christ becomes our source, when you and I understand Jesus Christ is my source, everything else is a resource. Now we are full, complete, lacking nothing. Because now it doesn't matter if I have it or not. No, 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 no. I have Him. I have the source. Friends, the source. Think about it. The God of heaven and earth lives in you. Come on, give me a wave if you're born again this morning. Give me a wave. Listen, Christ, God Himself, the source of all creation, is in you. God is in us. And we're stressing about this or this or boots. No, no, the source of everything is in me. He's in you. Friends, that's the reminder today. We are full, complete, lacking nothing when we remember He is here. And He's a good God. He's a faithful Father. He gives us everything we need. Amen? Come on, that's our reminder. That's the reminder. It doesn't matter if you're sick, broke, hopeless, in bad relationships, come back to Him. Say, God, help me. I repent of putting something else as the source. This whole week, do you know what my prep was? Seriously, my preparation was this, repenting. Saying, God, I trusted in that. That became my source, not you. Where's my mind slipped? You are my source, not that thing. Not that thing, you. And do you know what the fruit of that was? I promise you, this amazing sense of peace. Oh, Christ is my source. The Bible says He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's my source. So I can let go of the resources. I don't have to trust in them as my source. Matthew 5:6, two more verses. Matthew 5:6. It says, blessed are those. Blessed is this. Empowered to prosper. That's what the word blessed means. Empowered to succeed. So you are empowered to succeed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What do we pursue? What are we hungry for? What are we thirsty for? For God's will, God's righteousness, Bible says will be filled. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. Says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, look at this, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Verse 38. Whoever believes in Him, as the scripture has said, look at this, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Not from Him, within us. Friends, what do we have when we recognize that we are born again? We have the source of heaven and earth inside of us. A living source. Not just a resource, but a source. Friends, for too long, we preach like Jesus is a resource. He'll give you what you want. Yeah, yeah, maybe there's some truth to that, but He is our source, our never-ending source. Remember this about a resource. It will always dry up. A resource can always dry up, but the source is endless. The source can never dry up. Amen? That's the hope we have today. Stand to your feet. Let me pray. Come on, lift your hands. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your love. Holy Spirit, I thank You for helping us understand today that You are our source. You're everything we need. You're not just a resource to us. You're not the one who just gives us what we want. But Lord God, You're so much bigger, so much better than that. You are the source of our life. You are the source of our future. You are the source of sustaining us through every season of life. Whether we're in a season right now or which every one of us acknowledge, we have need in our life. That is a reality, Lord. Father, help us to recognize You as our source and not just a resource. Oh, because Father, when we see You as our source, something powerful and beautiful happens to our hearts. Peace, fills us. Hope fills us. Life fills us. But Lord, when we're focused on resource, we'll always be chasing for more. We'll never find peace. So Lord, help us understand this day that you are the Prince of Peace. You're everything we need. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen. Go